Welcome to the Birds Up Podcast, brought to you by the UTSA Alumni Association. We are your source on what's going on at the university, the Alumni Association, and all things Runner Nation. Because now and forever, we are Roadrunners. Welcome, Runner Nation, to another episode of the Birds Up Podcast, a podcast by runners for runners. And I am your host, Drew Addison. And with me, as always, is my beautiful wife and your Alumni Association President, Yvonne Addison. How are you today?
I'm doing great. I'm excited.
Absolutely. And guest host with us today from episode 17, Savion Harris. Welcome back to the show, man.
Welcome. Thank you. Thank you guys for having me. I'm excited.
Obviously, the reason why we wanted to get you back in is get your perspective as a former UTSA Roadrunner football player. The schedule is out now. We're getting our minds right as fans. And really kind of want to get your perspective as a football player of where your mind is right now. How does training start? And let's even go back to spring, where you finally get to put the pads back on and really get your mind right on things. How do you guys start preparing in the spring, at least as an individual player?
Yeah, so when you get into the spring, it's a big mental thing. You want to prepare and make sure you have the playbook down. There's new guys coming in, get accustomed to those guys and the coaches. They have different schemes. So really just kind of preparing, trying to stay healthy but in shape at the same time is a big emphasis in the springtime.
Do you know coming into the spring, especially maybe the senior players, are they already set in terms of who the starters are and then the new guys have to filter up and come up as they grow within the program? Or everybody starts at the same level and you all compete?
It kind of just depends because sometimes there's new coaches that come in, new coaches that come out. But the guys that are solidified are the guys who have their awards the previous season, the guys who are the captains.
Okay.
Usually most of the time they're solidified or they'll try them out in new positions. If they're playing safety, maybe corner, maybe safety. So that's kind of how it works in the spring with your seniors and your captains and things like that. New guys coming in that depending on how highly they got recruited, they might have a pivotal role in the upcoming season. They'll want to try them out even more. So it just kind of depends.
At what point after the end of the football season do you guys get started on the playbook and everything else to be prepared for the next season?
It really depends. So junior year, we didn't have a bowl game. Our season was over in November. But then that next year, we did have a bowl game and we were done at the end of December. So then you get in the spring and you start spring workouts, I think maybe a month, 2 months off. Then you're right back at it with workouts. And then you have your fourth quarter training. That'll be another month and a half. And then you get right into it to spring ball.
I've always been really blown away by the amount of time that it takes to learn the playbook and the amount of time that's spent on it. So whenever you come in, you're reporting for the first time, coming off the last season, are you handed this playbook and said, here it is, or is there much change? Are there a lot of plays that you're already familiar with?
Kind of just depends if you have new coaches or not, new schemes, if the safeties coach got promoted to defensive coordinator. In my experience, we did switch coaches. So it was a whole different scheme. It's not necessarily, here's the playbook. They even tested us on certain plays. We'll have tests every week. And that'll show the guys who are serious, who are listening in the meetings. They'll go over plays on paper, and then they'll go over the plays in the film room. This is how we want this executed, called teach tape.
There is a lot to it. One of the main reasons why we wanted to bring you in to chat was to really bring that perspective in and what it takes for players to get their mind right and knowing what's about to come. So coming into this next season, we have U of H at home and then Army at West Point for the second game and then UT in Austin for the third game. So I'm trying to think of it like if I was in those guys' shoes, what would be my mentality coming into it? Are those games even thought about, coached about, or is it something you guys don't even talk about till it's game day?
That's a good question, man, because it really just kind of depends. Going into summer workouts, it's kind of just looking in the mirror and being the best version of yourself, trying to put as much weight up as you can, you know, eating the right things, working as hard as you can, being the fastest in workouts. And then when you start gearing up to camp, it's competing against your teammates. So we're not really focused on the matchup quite yet. We're just competing with our own team and trying to be the best team we can be, building that camaraderie because camp is a grind. But once you start nearing towards the end of that camp is when you start looking towards the U of H. You start looking towards the UT Austin. So really towards the end of camp is when we start game planning for those teams. Coaches, they're game planning as soon as the season ends. But players, we're just kind of focused on how can we be the best version of ourselves during the season. At least I did.
How long is your camp?
If I can remember, camp is about 2-3 weeks, but you have a wake-up call 5 a.m. You're getting home at 10. So you're not getting any outside meals. They're providing you with everything. You're not leaving their site. The girlfriends are mad at this time. You're not hearing from your parents. It's straight grind. Your body's hurting because you're competing every single day.
coming back into camp as an experienced player versus the new guys. Mm-hmm. How do you guys work together on building that team environment? Because I feel like you experience two different coaching staffs. Mm-hmm. And within Coach Traylor's style, I feel like he's very much driven towards making sure that there is a team first, player second, right?
Yeah.
What are some of the things that you guys do to build that team mentality?
The biggest thing, man, is we're together all day. We're in the cafeteria together. We're eating breakfast. We're eating lunch. We're doing team bonding. They're taking us out to the pool. Mm. There's a game room in there now, so we're playing cards, yeah. Playing dominoes, things like that. So I think that's a big part, just being together all day. And sometimes we're waking up and it's like, oh, we have to do this again, but you're getting through it together. So that's really where you kind of build that camaraderie with each other.
So based on your experience at other programs, what makes UTSA's camp experience and preseason training unique that you've seen?
That's another good question.
Without giving away the secrets.
Yeah. So when I was at that camp with Coach Kiffin, they had us all in the dorms. They put everyone who was in the apartments in the dorms. And same with Coach Wilson. But Coach Traylor just kind of lets us have our own space. I think that was very unique. Mm. Another big thing is Coach Wilson kept us till like 10, 11. Coach Traylor was getting us out at 8, 9.
Yeah,
you know
yeah.
what I mean? So that's a big thing. He respects our time. He respects our effort. And he expects when we clock in, it's full effort. And we clock out, we get that rest. Not overextending ourselves. Mm-hmm. So I think that was a big thing of what separated Coach Traylor from other programs I've been at.
Oh, okay.
At what point in the preseason is it things are starting to become reality? The season's about to really get going. I mean, as of us recording this interview, today is the Conference USA kickoff media day. I feel like for the players that are there and the coaches that are there, that maybe that switch
it's
is turning
real.
On.
Yeah.
No, I think as soon as you step into camp is really when it starts getting real. I mean, that first weekend, you start scrimmages. You scrimmage against each other, and it's guys who are trying to get up there, working their butts off to try to work their way up the ranks. So I think as soon as you step into camp, that's when it's go time, and you kind of shut out the outside noise and lock in and get ready for the season.
And how long before the first game do you guys start focusing in on the next team, right? I'm sure film starts coming in.
Right.
And I'm sure earlier in the season, there's not a whole lot of film.
Right.
So how do you guys prepare for that?
So, I mean, same thing when preparing for UH. I'm not sure if they have the same offensive coordinator, same head coach. Mm-hmm. But we'll study their previous year, their previous film. If there's new coaches that come in, we'll study wherever they came from. So if the coach came from Baylor, we're going to study Baylor's offensive playbook.
Mm.
Because usually coaches keep the same philosophy.
Right, yeah.
And answer your other question, when do we start preparing? Film room's a big thing with us. He'll throw little tidbits in there to try to get our mind acclimated to when the season will come around, but he'll throw tidbits of this is kind of their plays of what they do. This is what we'll run against them. Very little. And then we start really ramping up, like I was saying, at the end of camp where we're kind of focused in on the team. Then we'll have 2 weeks, just straight U of H. Mm. So
it is fascinating, too, because, I mean, the technology these days is quite a bit different than what it has been, right? Mm-hmm. So I would imagine all the research has already been done.
Oh, yeah.
You guys are coming into film. I'm sure the players that are on that film, they've already identified who are not there anymore. What is watching film like? Are you guys breaking down individual plays? Are y'all watching the game as it is?
Yeah.
And how are the coaches involved in that?
The coaches really will teach you how to watch film, especially being a new guy.
Mm-hmm.
But being an experienced guy, you have guys that do play in the league. You pick up some things from them as well. But the coaches really do a great job of how to dissect that. So you'll have different sections of film. The coach will break up, okay, this is what they do on first down. This is what they do on second down. Third and short, third and medium, third and long. These are the plays that they're going to run.
Mm-hmm.
They'll also run when they're in this formation, when they're bunched, when they're spread out, when they're close together. This is the type of plays that they're trying to run and trying to accomplish against you. Then you break it down even more in this formation on second down, this formation on third down. So that's really how we kind of watch film and situations. Or when they're in this formation, we're going to run this defense and this is what I need you to
do.
So there's really a lot of things. We have great assistants and graduate assistants and coaches over there who break down the film. So you can literally go in there and break down different sections. Okay, this is what I want to watch. Just quarterback play, just all pass plays, all run plays. You can break that down and see everything they're trying to accomplish. So there's a lot that you can do. But for the most part, when you're with the coaches, they're going to tell you these are the plays that we're going to run on the defensive side when they come out in this formation.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the main thing with the coaches. And then on your own, you kind of be like, well, how does this receiver run this route?
Yeah.
How does the running back carry the ball? Is he high and tight? Things like that.
As a defensive back, your focus is probably trying to understand what the formations are. So you should be able to identify when the offense lines up, for the most part, this could be a pass or this is more likely going to be a running play.
Yeah.
That's a lot to take in.
You had me back in football mode. I'm like, man, I need to go back out there. You had me back in football mode.
That's
right
a lot
now.
To take in.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's different because when you're at safety, you're kind of the quarterback of the defense, right?
Yeah.
So if you see they tend to run the ball most of the time in this formation, you might cheat up a couple yards and come down ready to hit. But if it's a passing situation, you know they pass the ball to this, you might disguise something and prepare for a pass play. So it really all depends. When you're a linebacker, there's other things you look at. You look at the lineman, see who's pulling.
Right.
You know you have to fill that gap. When you're a D lineman, you know when it's a pass play or run play, you can full on rush and try to get a sack. So there's different things you can watch. But as a safety and a defensive back, the biggest thing is dissecting everything. What does the quarterback see? And out of these formations, what can I expect to come? What are my calls and what are my checks if they motion, if they shift?
Right, yeah.
So there's a whole bunch It's a lot. And Coach Lepp, the defensive coordinator, he expects a safety to call out everything. And that's something that I really admire about defensive coordinator because he demanded a lot out of us. He demanded us to be leaders and call everything, make the checks. And if he didn't, he was going to kick you to the curbs. Not kick you to the curb, I'm sorry. But put you on the bench. So that was a big thing with his defense is making sure you check everything and make sure you're in the right place.
Right. It's so crazy to think about. And I don't think the average football fan or really average person that's going to a game don't really realize what goes into this, you know. And then even the safety calling out what they're seeing.
Right.
That communication. I know that with every sport that I've played, communication on the field was really key. Now, when you're going to my games when there's not thousands of people there to cheer you on, you can hear what's happening.
Right.
How do you guys get that communication across in a place that's so loud?
And there's so many people out there. I always said I could never hear anything.
Yeah.
No matter what it was, I was always just so locked in and focused. I couldn't hear a thing. Whether it was 100,000 or 30,000, I never heard anyone. And it was just locked in on the game. But how we communicate is really, we all have to be on the same page. We kind of have to expect what's coming. So if they motion, we need to know what check that is. And we'll relay to each other with hand signals. Or we'll scream it. We'll get close, literally scream it to each other and get the plays out there. We have signals coming in from the coaches on the sidelines. But signals are a big thing when it gets so loud.
Yeah.
When you're getting the signals, you have to worry about the other team stealing your signals. So now you have three coaches giving you three different signs, and one of them is going to tell you which coach to look at for that sign. So there's a lot of things that go into it. And then even before the game, they're going over practice, like mock play calling. So before the game, we have to look at this coach to call this play and pick this coach to pick that play. So it's like then the whole three different signs up with four different signs on the sign.
Those are the signs being
So you'll see like coaches' faces on there. So all of them mean something. I'm not going to give away the church. All of them mean something.
Like there's the sumo wrestler. There's the chicken wings.
So sometimes they're decoys. Sometimes, you know, it's like we have to look at this one. Then there'll be like three different signs up there.
Because then you have to play callers in front of those callers.
Exactly. Right? So you have to look at the signs. Then that'll tell you who to look at. Then who to look at will tell you which coach to look at. Then you have to know what the play caller
is. And then you also have to read the offense.
And you have to read the offense. So if you have a coach like Coach Kiffin where they're fast paced, it's hard. You have to get plays in fast. Then you have to, from your film, okay, I can expect this of what's going to happen. It's like everything just plays, and you have just a couple seconds to get it.
So as a person who has never played football ever in her life, but I've been watching it since I was a kid, I will say this is going to age me, since the 1992 Super Bowl. That's how long ago I can remember having like started.
A lot of Cowboys fans in her family.
That's a whole, don't even get me started. Anyways, the more and more you watch, the more you learn about the rules. And even to this day, knowing how complex it is every time there's a down, you think, oh my God, this is like a miracle that this is going to come together every single time. And so I have to ask, as much as y'all prepare, how much of it is the preparation and it comes off exactly how you all plan it to come off? And how much is it just sheer luck?
It never comes off exactly how you want it. I'll tell you that right now.
Is it like 80-20? Is it 50-50?
It really just kind of depends, because as you're preparing for the offense, offense is also preparing for the defense. So they're liable to switch anything up.
Right.
But as long as you get a concept of what they're trying to do, get a good philosophy of that offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, mm-hmm. vice versa. You can't, okay, well, they're going to run exactly this play. Sometimes it works out like that, mm-hmm. but you can watch hours and hours and hours of film that week, and they do something totally opposite of what they showed on film.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You still have to be a player.
And you're totally off coverage.
The game is mostly mental, so you have to be open to anything.
Yeah.
Having that mental mindset of bouncing back from that is where guys succeed.
Yeah. Playing at that level, D1 football, I just heard somebody liking it the other day. It's like the B-League of the NFL. It's pretty much professional sports at this point.
Right.
The margin for error is very, very slight. And anytime a big play happens, somebody failed and it was exploited.
Right.
Now, having played contact sports myself, there's a whole other mental aspect to the game, which is the physicality of it. With all this preparation, all the things that you have to monitor, are you able to just remove the sense of danger out of your brain? Or is that something you have to do?
When you go out there, you can't think, man. You just have to go. And that's how you do get hurt sometimes mm-hmm. because you're just going full speed at each other and you're not thinking of anything but making plays. So you're liable to get hurt anytime. And that's just the risk you take playing the game.
Yeah.
To answer your question, we're not thinking about getting hurt. Yeah. We're just trying to go out there, make plays and succeed.
I know for me, it was always just trying to remove that completely out, like you said, come in and make the play. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the times that I got hurt was whenever I would have that in the back of my mind. Like, oh no, this is going to hurt.
Going half. You know what I mean? But you have to be smart sometimes because if I'm coming downhill, I'm 195, 200 pounds. Yeah. I'm not going to come straight at a lineman. I'm going to run around you. And then if I see a running back who's 230, 250 running straight at me, I'm not going to hit him up high. I'm probably going to hit him down low. So it's just being smart with that. But when you do get those injuries, when I tore my shoulder, mm-hmm. how does that affect your game? I'm not coming in just trying to hit everyone. I'm more trying to be finesse now, get the ball in my hands.
Right.
So kind of shifting to the physical side of the preparation, you see these things like, oh, so-and-so is coming to camp. He gained 50 pounds over the whatever, you know. How do you keep your body in shape the way it needs to be in the off season? How much does your body physically change as you all lift weights and your diet becomes a little different? Talk about that part.
In the off season, we're working out 4 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
We're putting up weight and then we're doing the percentages. This is your max. And then we'll see what our max is at the beginning and see what it is at the end. They'll take a picture of your body at the beginning, take a picture at the end. When you're done with your workout, you're taking protein shakes. Mm-hmm. So that's how you're kind of ramping up your body, prepare for the season, working out the little muscles also. Make sure you're not always so stiff.
Mm-hmm.
We're running all the time, getting our legs ready and stuff like that. Now, another part to the question is how do we stay in shape during the season mm-hmm. when we're not lifting 4 days a week?
Right.
We're going at it and ramming each other 24/7 during the game.
It takes longer to recover.
Yeah. So now during the season, we do more recovery because we're putting a lot of pressure on our bodies
mm-hmm.
and we'll lift lightweight 2 times a week, mm-hmm. 3 times a week, whatever it may be, and a lot of recovery, a lot of training room.
The science behind all that too, and having those trainers that are there that are at the peak level of physical therapy. And then like Yvonne was talking about in the preseason, you're getting your body ready, whether it's adding more muscle, getting more lean, becoming quicker, mm-hmm. however you can do that.
Right.
Are the coaches putting goals on individual players? Yep. Like, I need you to gain 10 pounds.
Usually with the linemen, they're losing weight, but the skill guys are usually trying to put more weight on.
Right. Yeah.
It just depends on everyone's situation, but usually with the linemen, they eat a lot, and so they'll come back and have gained some weight. They want them to lose it, but it does it so fast. We're out there running all the time, sweating all the time, especially during the summer. You know, it's 100-something degrees outside. Yeah. I'm seeing wildfires on the side of the road, and I'm like, oh, yeah, this is crazy.
They're hurting. Yeah. They're hurting.
I'm going to Florida. It's green. I'm coming here, and it's brown. I'm like, what the hell is going on? So speaking of bodies, too, since December 28th of my last season, it has been the hardest to stay consistent working out. I've been looking for trainers. I'm over here going to different gyms. It is just so hard. It's not mandatory.
Yeah.
It's not mandatory for me to go in the weight room. So it's like I go in there. I'm like, why am I doing this again? But then I go to reach over and I'm feeling something on my back. And I'm like, I've never felt that before.
It gets worse.
I'm like, I've never felt that before.
You're going to preseason. You get everything going. At what point does a team select the starters? This is the guys coming in. You guys are the starting 22 to come in there and get it done.
You'll know the guys that are solidified.
Yeah.
The Frank Harris, who was All-American last year. Mm-hmm. You'll know those guys are pretty much solidified. They might say something in camp just to get the competitive juices going. But you kind of know who's solidified. And then the outliers, the guys who's graduated and filling in those new roles. You'll really know that week before when you really start game planning for week one.
Oh, that's dang. When
you really know the starters.
Build that pressure, man.
Yeah, and they'll have you guys splitting reps with the ones. And they're going over film who's the best.
Yeah.
That week before week one is where they're like, okay, these are guys, but it's liable to change throughout the season. Yeah.
What about the leadership for the team, the captains? When does all that get solidified?
They do that during camp as well. They'll have guys vote on it. Coach Shelley even does it where the single-digit number guys, they'll vote on it during camp. And
you were a single-digit guy?
I was my first year, and then my second year, that was a big thing. I'm not going to talk about Coach Shelley right now. I was hurt all of camp that second year, so I didn't even do it. And then after the first game against Texas State, I played like 50, 60 snaps. Then Coach Taylor comes to me, he's like, you won that number six again? I'm like, no, Coach, I'm good. I'm going to stick with 24. But that's kind of how they do it. They want you to earn it.
Just kind of bring me back to first games of seasons. What is it like being in the locker room of the first game of the season, knowing you're about to go 110%?
Yeah.
How are you guys mentally preparing yourself for that?
It's a whole new season, whole new expectations, and you're coming off last season, whatever you did do, it's a whole new clean slate, it's a whole new opportunity, it's a real good test of how the season's going to go, but taking each game week by week.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know for me, going into the first game of the season, I was always seeking out contact first, just to get it out of the way, just to remind my body, okay, that's what that feels like.
Yeah.
Take us back to maybe the first snap of the season, the first play that has come in your way.
Yeah.
How does that feel? I'm sure there's butterflies and all sorts of stuff going on.
I never really got too nervous. Mm-hmm. Everyone's different. You do get some type of butterflies, but you work all that time in the spring, in the off season, in summer camp. And it's like, well, it's finally here. So keeping all that in the back of your head, everyone has their routine before the games, what they're listening to, what they do the night before, what they ate. Some guys even like, I'm wearing the same underwear. So, you know, everyone's different in that sense.
Well, at that level, there are superstitions. I had the same process before every game for the most part. Whether I had a good game at one point because I did this set of things beforehand, but I've always find it fascinating from a D1 level. Is it more like a switch for you guys?
Man, you're getting back in there. But honestly, man, it's just kind of like, this is your realm. You can go out there and make a play, or you can just be stiff and be scared, but it's not how you're going to make it.
Yeah.
Not necessarily turn on a switch, because you turn on that switch every time you step on the field. Mm-hmm. It's game time now. Mm-hmm. You see guys screaming on the field before. You can truly just let everything out. It's exciting.
I want to transition and talk a little bit about the change in conference that's coming up for TSA. Yeah. What do you see as the preparation for something like that? We've spent all these last seasons playing the UABs and the La Techs, and you're very familiar with a lot of the plays and playing against these opponents. And now you've got to go against a whole new set of opponents. Mm-hmm. What do you envision that kind of process would be like, and challenges and things that a player would experience?
We would prepare the same way.
Okay.
You can't look at it different, being a different opponent. When that Sunday hits, you're preparing for that next team.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Even in Conference USA, you had coaches coming in and out. Mm-hmm. So it's constant change. The only thing that would remain the same is where you're playing at.
Okay.
Everything will be the same in preparation, workouts. We're still going to be the best we can be.
Mm-hmm.
But when you start getting to that change in who you're playing, this is big boy ball. Not that it wasn't before, but new coaches, new stadiums, more people. It's exciting, and I think these guys are really taking it on is something they look forward to.
Let's say you're a freshman or a sophomore this season. Would you already be thinking like, I want to start preparing for the teams we're playing in that next conference? Would you already start looking at film?
We wouldn't start looking at film or anything like that. If I'm a freshman, I'm trying to figure out my first way on the field that year. So really just kind of proving myself, and it's still football at the end of the day. So being a freshman just that year, trying to get on the field and doing what I had to do in the classroom, getting adjusted to being away from home.
Yeah.
So looking forward, I would think that's the wrong move as a freshman.
When you get the playbooks in for your first time as an underclassman, are a lot of the plays that are in there pretty common across teams? Like, are there plays within the playbook that you've already experienced in other teams you've been with? Maybe called different?
No, it's a lot more complex when you get to college.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on the program, if you're at one of these big Texas schools over here, they generally have programs that have college-level coaches.
Mm-hmm.
Coming from public school, it could be the same thing, but you don't have a strength coach. You have one trainer.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't have three assistant coaches. Mm-hmm. You have one coach and their bandwidth isn't long enough to keep up and do the same thing a college can do.
Right.
Just due to lack of resources. Mm-hmm. So when you get to high school, especially at a public school that doesn't have those resources, you're more so just playing football. I mean, in high school, I played every position.
Yeah.
I don't know what position I didn't play besides lineman.
Right.
So then when you get into college, it's kind of like, you need to learn this position, and it's 10x of what you were doing before.
Right.
Now it's 100 plays, and we can only run 50 of them. In high school, it's like, well, we have three plays. We're going to be the best of those three plays.
Yeah, yeah.
It just kind of depends where you come from.
Are you getting a lot of reps as a freshman coming in?
Depends. Preseason? Depends how highly recruited you are.
Okay.
You know, some guys come in to be not necessarily bodies, but they're just not yet developed.
Mm-hmm.
They have great character, great teammates. Some of those guys are brought on for that reason. Some guys are really big and really raw. So you want to just get them acclimated to that college life. So it really just depends how highly recruited.
Yeah.
If you're a 5-star coming to UTSA, I'm pretty sure you're going to play.
Yeah.
It really just depends. And then spring, how well did you do in spring? How well did you do in summer? Then that's going to gauge how good of a chance this guy have to play his first year. They give everyone a chance, but if they see you come in just all flimsy, you can't really keep up with the guys in college, then it's like, okay, well, we know you're probably gonna be redshirt this year.
Right, yeah.
He ate too many chicken nuggets over the
summer. Yeah.
Oh, no, all day. You got a chance to play against Army. That to me is a very interesting offensive scheme. Option plays constantly.
Right.
I feel like they do a really good job of hiding a pass when it's going to be a pass, because every play pretty much looks identical.
Yeah.
As a defensive back, I feel like in preparation for something like that, you got to be ready to hit somebody, right?
Because
you're going to be coming downhill.
I was saying before, when you know it's going to be a pass, you might scoot back a little bit. If you know it's going to be a run, you might scoot up a little bit. Army, we were scooting up a bit.
Yeah.
Those guys are just so disciplined. They're never the best athletes.
Uh-huh.
They're just the most disciplined guys.
Mm-hmm.
Everything looks the exact same. So now it's less of playing football and more so, I have this guy, you have this guy.
Mm.
Depending on the scheme, but they do the craziest things. They'll pass the ball maybe 5 times a game. So,
but then that's when they get you.
That's when they get you. Corners will be on an island that time. They might get no action, but then that one play, they could target you.
Yeah.
But I remember when we played them, I had 5 tackles in a row, and I'm playing safety, so they're just busting up the middle every time, and I had to save the day 5 times in a row in just one series.
Mm.
You know what they're doing.
Right.
They can do 4 or 5 plays, but it's just so hard to stop.
They're just a ground and pound team.
They are.
And I feel like from a physicality, mentality perspective, I almost have to get yourself prepared that I'm going to have to have some recovery this next week.
Yeah. So people are definitely getting some bumps and bruises after that game. But even preparing for them, they cut you a lot. So they're going to dive at your legs
because
they're not always the biggest guys. And that's just their scheme. They're going to cut at your legs. They're going to dive at your
legs.
Just
take you out.
They're
going to
take you out.
Yeah.
And then they're just going to run past you. So even preparing for that, they're throwing sleds at your legs. They're throwing little dummies.
Gosh.
Getting you prepared, and you have to shed the block. So it's a whole different game plan when you play Army.
Wow.
Whole different game plan.
Crazy. The first 3 games this season, it's going to be tough. I am excited coming off the season that we just had to see where we stack up. The University of Houston game at the Alamo Dome is a highly anticipated game across all college football.
Yeah.
Playing Army at West Point to play against those fellas. And as we just talked about, it's a hard-hitting game. And then we have UT and Austin the week after they play Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll be coming off probably a disappointing game themselves.
Yeah.
So
they're going to be hungry.
Right, yeah. But also playing players at that level. Right.
Yeah.
And maybe that's part of the game plan. We have these first 3 games against very talented teams to bring our team up to that level in preparation for conference play.
Right.
UTSA football also picked number 1 in the Conference USA for this year as well. So fingers crossed, make sure you get your season tickets and make sure you come and see us at the tailgates as well. We're working on something special for the University of Houston first game. Stay tuned for that. So hopefully everything kind of comes to fruition there. Outside of being a former UTSA football player, Savion is also in asset management, working for Intercontinental Wealth Advisors. How's business going?
Business is going great, man. It's really been a blessing for me after school to be in the position I'm in. Attacking every day the same way I did in football and transition that mindset. It's been really good to me.
That's awesome. It's also a perfect time for us to bring at the fact that the players on the UTSA teams across all sports, I mean, to me, should be highly touted interns. And anytime you're hiring out there, so if there's any alumni out there looking to get connected, please let us know. We'll make sure we get Savion's contact information listed on the show notes. So if you are looking for someone to help you with wealth and asset management, he is your guy.
Yeah.
And I'll have his contact information on there. So make sure you check the show notes and get in contact with Savion. Thank you again so much for coming in.
Thank you for getting me back in the football.
Yeah,
mode.
Man.
I know, it was great.
Hit the gym after this.
Great, yeah.
Do some power cleans.
Oh, I'll go get chicken nuggets.
Yeah. So we have a couple of events coming up. If you want to talk about the Alumni Gala.
Yes, Alumni Gala, August 13th. It'll be at La Quintera Resort. It's going to be a really exciting event. I mean, every week, the committee, we're having meetings and talking about preparation. We've just got some really creative ideas, some nice touches to the event. It's definitely going to be a gala for the record books.
Nice.
It's going to be, I think, one of the best ones we've ever
hosted. And still tables available. Yeah. Make sure
still
you get your tickets.
Still tickets.
Yeah. Go to utsa.edu/alumni to get your tickets or purchase your table today, as we anticipate them to sell out.
Yes.
So make sure you get that done. Also, on August 19th, the Alvarez College of Business Alumni Council is having a Meet the Dean breakfast at Rideout Barrett, alumni-owned and run business that is sponsoring the event. This is your chance to meet Dean Jonathan Hobbesladen as he comes in from University of Alabama to take over the role as Dean of the Alvarez College of Business.
Yep.
So exciting stuff. New episodes every other Friday, 6 a.m. And stay tuned for all the great things that are coming up. And if we can ask you to do one thing, make sure that you subscribe and leave that 5-star rating and review, as it helps us more than you know. Stick around for the next episodes coming up, and we'll catch you on the next one. Birds up.
Birds up.